Friendship is really important, isn't it? Friendship is really important. Let me read some quotes to you about friendship. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Helen Keller said, walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. And Muhammad Ali, remember him? Muhammad Ali said, friendship is not something you can learn at school, but if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you haven't learned anything. Friendship is so important. One of the most popular TV programs globally is called Friends, and it's about friendship. Okay, friendship is so important. I remember going to the airport and, you know, dropping off a friend or picking up a friend. And sometimes I just sort of sit there in Costa, you know, the arrivals gate, and you just watch people. Have you seen how people greet their friends? People that have been away for a few weeks or a few months, and there's an embrace, there's sometimes tears. Friendship is really important. Friendship is like alive in people's lives. And the Bible has loads of references to friends and to friendship. It's just peppered throughout his word. It's really important to God. Okay, even at the beginning of all time, there was this companionship that was being demonstrated in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's really important to God. We see it all the way through the Bible. But unfortunately, our society has sort of started to erode away friendship in our lives. And I think there are times where, because of that, a lot of people ask questions. Because of this, you know, once perfect world, once perfect relationship with God has suddenly been messed up. A lot of people in that confusion ask questions. You know, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? If you think about the most popular evangelistic campaign globally is Alpha. And the logo for Alpha is a question mark, isn't it? Because people ask a lot of questions. In this confusion, people are asking a lot of questions. And that's exactly where the church can come in. It's exactly where you and I can come in. Bob shared last week, didn't he, about this amazing good news that we have. It's incredible. The gospel of Jesus is just incredible. This is good news. And the answer can be found in this book. This is, I bought a big one today, so I want to show people that it's just really important. Okay? This is really important because this is God's answer to life in here. It's critical. So I want us to look at a few verses from Jude today. Jude was the brother of James and Jesus, and he wrote a letter to a group of Christians, mainly Jewish Christians, and he was talking about the Christian life, and he was keen to write about salvation, but Jude changed the topic of his letter, and he started to talk about the true faith in the church, the true faith. He changed his topic, and he did that because at that time there was some false teaching that was creeping into the church, and he was desperate to make sure that people understood the true faith. And sometimes for us today, the world can creep in to our church, and you know, we can be so focused on building the church that we can become complacent and we start compromising in certain areas. We say, yeah, no, we'll let that happen, just come and join us, we want to grow. Or yeah, we'll change things in the church this way, so if we change it, will you come? Yeah, you'll come, great, and we can grow. And Jude takes us back to a really important message of how to live life as a Christian, how to grow church and get excited about church, but how not to compromise as we do that. So let's read together. I'm going to read from verse 17. And this is entitled, I'm reading from the ESV, by the way. I love this this translation, but you'll be able to follow it if you've got an NIV Bible there. So we're going to go from verse 17. This is titled a call to persevere. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, listen to this. This is really important. Jude says this, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads us to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them. Can you hear that word? This is a really active word. It's not a passive thing. He's saying snatch them, grab them, snatch them out of the fire. And to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So he was saying that you need to reach out to people, you need to have mercy, but don't ever compromise. You know, love the sinner, but hate the sin. Don't ever compromise. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, as we read through the richness of your word, Lord God, today. Help us to understand it more. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to be changed by your word today, Lord God. Help us to apply it and be completely transformed. We thank you for the Bible, Lord God, that we have freedom to study this and to soak it up, the richness of your word. Father, there are countries around the world where this is completely illegal. We would be arrested. Thank you for the freedom that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are two reasons why you were created. There are two reasons. When you think about life and all the questions that you ask, all the purposes that you think you were created for, there are only two reasons why you were created. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God and save people. Keep yourselves in the love of God and save people. And Jesus also summed it up exactly the same way. He said, if you want to see the kingdom come, if you want heaven to come to your world, there are two things you need to do. He said exactly the same thing in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He said this is the great and first commandment. And second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Love your friends as much as you love yourself. Love your family as much as you love yourself. That's completely sacrificial love, isn't it? Because we all love ourselves, don't we? Yes, we do. We do. This is so important. This is so important. There are two reasons. That's the answer to life. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God and be friendly. Be a friend of God and a friend of sinners. You see, the good news is that Jesus, he loves us so much that he made it possible for us to have access to the Father. He made it possible. He made it possible that we could get close to God. You see, because if we can't get close to God, we can't really know him. And if you can't know someone, you can't really love them. And you see, if we can't love God, how on earth can we love people around us? Because unless we start with God and loving him, we have no chance with loving people around us. But Jesus made it possible. When we have access to God and we understand his love for us, suddenly there's a change in our lives. There's a change. You know, this is the very starting point of evangelism. This is the very basis on how we're to reach out our friends. This is the first place that we go to. Love God, then love your friends, and then go and make disciples. Do you remember when J-John came in July and he was sharing about how to reach out? J-John said this, he sums it up, that a missionary is not someone who crosses the sea, but someone who sees the cross. That's the starting point. We heard a lot about church planting, didn't we, at West Point? Like getting excited about church planting with New Frontiers. The whole church planting DNA is within us, isn't it? And now we're a commissioned church. We're still thinking about how do we grow? How do we plant churches? How do we reach the UK? How do we reach the nations? It's within our DNA, isn't it? But actually, if you're thinking about church planting, the very starting point is the cross of Jesus. That's the very... Don't even consider church planting if you haven't really grasped the love of God and the incredible, incredible compassion that he has for your life. Don't start church planting until you've got to that place, until you understand the love of God. It's the first step. When we've been in that place and we've seen the wonder and awe of the Saviour, do you know what? Something happens to us. Our faith gets built up with inside us. It starts to bubble up. It starts to overflow. Our minds and our hearts are in a completely different place. It starts to bubble up. You see, God was so desperate to take it back, take friendship back to that original perfect plan, because God created a perfect friendship with him and man, and we messed it up. But throughout the Bible, it's peppered. If you take a step back on the Bible and you view it from a broad view, you begin to see that the thread through this book is all about God desperately trying to reconnect back to man. Why? Because he loves us so much. It's incredible. It's through this book. The starting point is to love God. He is a holy God. He is amazing. Jude says a bit further on in his letter, he shows us who is responsible for that reconnection. These are the most beautiful verses. Listen to this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless. He presents you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. He doesn't just present you blameless because he had to. It was a bit tough on the cross. It was a really hard work. But he presents us blameless, what does it say here? With great joy. This is amazing. So the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty. It was Jesus. He was so desperate to reconnect with us that he sacrificed his son. This amazing friendship between the Father and the Son. God said, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to separate myself from my Son. I'm going to offer him as a sacrifice. Because he was so desperate to reconnect with you and reconnect with me. That was how desperate God was. It's peppered through here, the Bible. It's a thread all the way through. Take a look at it, a broad view. Every verse, every chapter, it's just a thread of how God loves you. Jesus, he's presented you blameless before God. That feeling about blameless. As a kid, I got into all sorts of trouble. Some of the things, okay, I could be blamed for. Some of the things, it was my brother, okay? But we got into lots of trouble. The incredible feeling of being blameless was amazing. It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. And then the words, okay, it wasn't you. That feeling of just sheer relief. Oh, I'm blameless. He presents us blameless before an incredible holy God. You're completely and utterly blameless. He's such a holy God. He is the ultimate. We've been singing about it. He is majestic. He is holy. He is perfect. He's desperate to be present with us. He sent his son that we could reconnect with him, to be present with him. See, friendship isn't about just about head knowledge. It's about presence. It's about being with someone. There's a book here, The Amazing Jeff Gilbert. Okay? See this book? Now, Angela could have ordered this off Amazon before she met me to find out about me. She could have read through the book. No, it's a good book. I know, I can hear some sniggers going on here. But if you open this book up, you can read all about me, all about my family, how funny I am. I say jokes and make people laugh. And there are some photos of me. You can get to know me and the places I've been on holiday and so on. So, you know, she could have ordered that book off Amazon and decided from that book whether she wanted to marry me, couldn't she? And I'm sure she would have done. It's not about that, is it? It was when we met each other. I haven't warned Angela about this, actually. It's when we met each other that we actually fell in love. It was when we were present together and we actually decided that actually we're going to get married. It's about being present with someone, isn't it? And God just, he was so desperate to be present with his people. You see, this is in the ark. If you read about this, this is a symbol of the presence of God, of a holy God. And the important thing about this is that this was such an incredible box. It was gold. It was made out of acacia wood. It was lined with gold. It was had a solid gold top. It had to be perfect because God is incredibly holy. God is so perfect. You know, sometimes I think we miss this in our church. Okay, I love this church and it's a relaxed service. But sometimes we can miss the awesomeness and presence and awe of God in the way we do things. God is incredibly holy. This was a symbol of God's holy presence. Remember they were carrying it and someone put their hand out to stable it because it was going to fall off and that guy died because of that? I was talking to someone this week and they said, I've always struggled with that verse. I've always struggled. Listen, who are we to even question that verse? This is God. This is holy, holy God. Take a deep breath in. Everyone, take a deep breath out. The only way you've achieved that is through God's permission. Every breath you take, every heartbeat, is through God allowed that to happen. He allowed it to happen. He is an incredibly holy God. But do you know the thing is? Right in the center of this, is that right in the center of this, you have the holiness of God, but you have this incredible love, this incredible dad love, father love. This is an incredible balance that we have to try and make sure that we keep balanced, the holiness of God, but his incredible love, just desperate to reconnect, desperate to be present with his people. It's incredible. Therefore, authentic friendship evangelism starts here. It starts understanding the holiness of God, yet the love of God, and the complete miracle that he's chosen us. Because it is a miracle, isn't it? You're probably sitting there, yeah, it's a miracle he's chosen you, Jeff. It's a miracle. He's chosen every one of us. And it's about embracing that. It's about sort of understanding that this ark was pointing to Jesus being present on our planet. So before we even consider friendship evangelism, being friendly or, you know, telling people around us about Jesus, we need to start here. Love the Lord your God with every single part of your life. Love him. Get to know him. Search him. Immerse yourself in his word. Let this just wash over your life. Don't neglect this. This is God's love for you. Read the verses one at a time. Cherish them. Cherish them. Let them wash over your life. If you don't know God here, read them and just say to God, God, I don't even know you. Show yourself. Let me tell you, he'll show himself to you. Get in the quietness of your room. I've heard this many times. It happened at New Day with a young girl. She didn't meet, it wasn't the glitz and the lights and the smoke machines that did it. It was the word of God. It was the presence of God in her room. Coming and meeting with her. Get to know him. He's loving and compassionate. Because once we're there, we can then become loving and compassionate ourselves. We can start mirroring God. We can start reflecting God. Do you know, this is a good place to do it in church. Bearing with one another, loving one another, reaching out to one another, being honest, being authentic with one another. This is the place to do it. Do you know what? If we can't get it right here, we might as well just pack up and go home. If we can't get it right here, this is a great training ground. Being changed by God, being completely transformed, reading his word, letting it flow over us, being changed by him is so important. Asking God, God, you know, search me every day. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any grievous way, any wicked way in me. Ask God, God, search me. He will show you. He will show you. Search me, God. I want to reflect you. When someone becomes a Christian, it's like our eyes have suddenly been opened. It's interesting that the Bible talks about people becoming a Christian, like being healed. They're deaf and they're spiritually blind, or they're dead in their sins. It's like a healing. So actually our approach to evangelism should be about how we pray for healing, actually. How we pray for healing. In Matthew's gospel it says, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. Evangelism should be the same approach to how we pray for miracles, for healing. How do we pray with our friends? How do we pray for our neighbours? Do we pray as if we're praying for a miracle? Because the Bible says they need it. Spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. If someone asked you, let's say someone said to you, I have a friend who's blind, born blind. I want you to come and pray for them. How would you pray? Would you take maybe some lighting and a smoke machine, maybe a great worship band, maybe a gifted communicator? How would you pray? Who would you take? Who would you take with you to pray for a miracle of healing? You would take Jesus? Yeah, you would. You'd also take a friend who is close to Jesus, wouldn't you? You would try and spot someone who is so connected with the Father. So connected. You would take them with you. Please come and pray. I need a miracle here. You would take them with you. Because they would be the person with their hearts aligned to God, having faith for a miracle. See, in John's Gospel, John 6, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Takes a pressure off with evangelism, doesn't it? I love that. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh, no help at all. It's a miracle that we need to pray for. Taking someone who knows the King. Just think of the person for a minute who led you to Christ. Think of the person. Think of the person who smiled at you gently as you spoke to them. Maybe answered some of your crazy questions. Never made you feel condemned or and loved, constantly prayed for you? Who was that person for you who never gave up on you, who forgave you, who cared for you, who made you feel special, didn't condemn you, didn't make you feel guilty? Who was that person for you? You know, using someone's name is so important. Jesus did it all the time. There are books in the Bible just full of names. Remember when you do your Bible in a year and you read through the book, you think, oh, it's a page of names. Do you know what? Soak it up. Who's the person that used your name? Julie, Vic, Tom, David. You see, your name is so precious to you. It's the most important word on the planet. Jesus, gently, who was it that used your name as they led you to Christ? For me, it was Alison. I used to sit in her kitchen. I'm embarrassed about some of the questions I asked. It's ridiculous. But she was caring. She never condemned me. She made me feel so special. Because this was Alison's starting point. She was so in love with her Saviour that it just spilled out. It just welled up. You see, when we grasp what he has done for us, it will naturally bubble over anyway. Jesus said, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You don't even need to try hard. The flesh is no good at all. Just let it well up. Let it bubble up. The more we know about this, the more it will just overflow. We reflect Jesus. Just you being you, once you get a glimpse of him, will be so attractive that people will just flock to you anyway. This is what happens. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what Jesus said. You will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You get blessed, your friends get blessed. It's about being completely and utterly transformed by Jesus. Sold out for him. Just, you know, let's not play games anymore. Just completely and utterly and utterly and utterly sold out for him. Completely sold out for him. Paul was in Philippians. Let me read to you what Paul says. He says, this is Paul speaking about being sold out. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Paul got it, didn't he? Because he knew this. He'd grasped the holiness of God and he'd grasped the love of God for him. And he was completely and utterly sold out. Jude tells us that he will present us blameless before the King. His will, his desire is that all would come to understand that he's always had a heart for you. He's always had a heart for you. And you know, the more we examine the bravery of Jesus, his son, the more we sort of think about how he just gave his life, the more we discover that actually he's not teasing us here with his love. He's not holding it at arm's length. God, where are you? He's not teasing us. It's actually quite the opposite. He's beckoning us in. He's saying, come on, come and love me. Come and let me show you. Let me reconnect with you. He beckons us in. He embraces us. He loves us. He has so much love for us. And he wants us to be changed and transformed. He doesn't want us to play games anymore. That last song that we sang was just so good. God, take us back to that place. Take us back. His love will transform you. And then have mercy on those who doubt. Just as you've been shown mercy, have mercy on others. Just as you have been shown mercy, have mercy on those people around you. Have mercy on your church friends. Have mercy on your neighbours. Love them. I've been so challenged by this. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Come on, this is really important stuff. Snatch them. Snatch them. Be active, don't be passive. Grab hold of them, seize them. But you see, that passion and desperation to see your friends saved starts here. With us fully understanding and grasping the love that God has for us, each one of us. It starts here. Catch a glimpse of his heart for you.